Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, this is the Vex on Vex podcast. This is episode number 23. I am your host, VexX. Today, we have a very special guest on the podcast. This is Timmy.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Timmy. How are you today, sir?
I'm okay.
Now, for those of you who have no idea who we're speaking to, Timmy has become the sergeant of arms, the second in control. He literally manages my company for me so I can play Madden and record podcasts.
It's more of a concierge role.
Concierge?
I just make suggestions.
Well, yeah. So this is Timmy. He's very close to me in my personal life, and we spent a lot of time together. And we have no guest today for the Vex on Vex podcast. And Timmy was like, I don't really want to be on the podcast.
No, I do not.
And I'm like, come on, man, be on the podcast. But you're an avid football fan.
Absolutely.
And so am I. Like, this is what we have in common. Like, I adore the Eagles. You like the Eagles. Speaking of which, my second replica championship ring has been shipped to us and should be here momentarily, Timmy.
Now, is this the... You got rid of the first one because it wasn't a copy. Now, well, is this one?
Yes.
Are you getting two of the duplicates?
No, I'm getting one duplicate.
Okay, so you're just going to keep the...
So I'll have the shitty ring. Yeah. So it happened. Yeah. The Eagles win the Super Bowl, which is like, oh my God, they won the Super Bowl, right? We're very excited. And I went online the next day, and I bought an Eagle Super Bowl ring. But they didn't exist yet. They weren't like shown to the public. So the version they had sent us wasn't accurate in any capacity, which is fine. That's okay. No one died. You know what I mean? But when they unveiled the new rings... I was upset. Now, you want to hear something very bizarre? Starscream, the band I'm a part of, played a venue on Saturday night, okay?
Okay.
The rings were handed out that Tuesday at the same fucking venue in South Philly. How bizarre is that? No, for real.
Yeah.
And so we were there, and it was kind of leaking out what was going on or what it was going to be in reference to, but you weren't allowed to tell anybody. But it was pretty cool. It was the ECW Arena. It's in South Philadelphia.
Right.
It's weeks ago now. So they hand the rings out. I see them on, like, Instagram and Facebook, and they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then I look at my shitty ring, and I'm like, my ring's not gorgeous. I don't have as nice.
As you do with many things.
As I do with many things. So I instantly had to go on and buy another replica. This one is of the actual ring. And Nick Foles, quarterback.
They closed off the ceremony. Like, they didn't. There's no video from the
intentionally.
Now there may be, you know, somebody who was hired or somebody on staff that filmed it. I don't know. But as of right now, there's nothing.
And they did it on purpose. They didn't want the press there. You know what I mean? They wanted
just
to
family.
Be
family.
Exactly.
You know, that's the way Doug Peterson wins. You know, in my opinion.
Explain.
He treats everybody with respect
on the team.
Yeah, he doesn't. You know. He doesn't take the approach that many coaches do where, you know, it's not personal, professional, yada, yada. They're a team. They're a family.
Like, how many head coaches do you think in the biggest game of their entire career facing the number one quarterback in football, the most successful head coach in football, and, like, listens to the quarterback, the backup quarterback is like, hey, let's do this play, coach. And the coach is like, yeah, no problem. Go do that play. That's totally awesome.
Yeah, from the goal line and everything, you know, so many things could have went wrong, and if you watch the play over and over again, like I did, you just see how confident they were.
They didn't give a shit.
The play. They ran the play perfectly. Clement looked smooth.
Sure.
And the tight end.
Well, he was a quarterback though, right? In college.
The tight end before college, I believe he was a quarterback.
Okay.
He's not the guy that always ran it in practice either. There's somebody else, and I can't remember their name.
Sure.
That was usually the guy that ran the play.
Okay.
Well, through the football, that play is really run by Foles and Clement.
Literally.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The pitch is to whoever is in that tight end spot there.
So. We're avid Madden players. We consider ourselves Madden athletes. My friend Timmy would go to work. He'd be like, hold on, guys. I have an old Madden injury acting up on my shoulder. Hold on.
I got a Madden concussion
today. Madden concussion today. So they are announcing the rankings for the 2019 version of Madden, correct? Because we're in the 2018 year. It ends in 19. They gave a better catching rating to Tom Brady, who dropped the ball in the Super Bowl, than Nick Foles, who caught the ball in the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think it's silly.
You it's
know,
silly.
You know, Tom Brady can do no wrong when it comes to the rest of the world.
Now, if you're an avid Madden player, for the past two seasons, the main team when you turn the game on has been the awful, evil Patriots. For two seasons, I've had to look at these fuckers when I turned on the system.
Yeah, and you're stuck. You can't like skip past it. You have to watch Tom Brady take that hike every day.
Every time. And it's like, God damn it, Tom Brady. Fuck you in your face.
Yeah, I sent you the other day the new ratings for the Madden, for the next Madden coming up.
Okay.
So I don't know if you got a chance to look
at them. I didn't look at all of them, but let's discuss them by all means. Like,
I don't remember all of them. I just know that Carson came in at 86.
And you were pissed off because Brady's like a 99 or something?
Yeah, it just, you know, I don't see how an immobile quarterback is still a 99. You know what I mean? He can barely move. You saw when he tried
to
run for the...
He could barely move.
You seen him run. He looked like a drunk chasing a bus going after that pass. Like, he's out there and he's running towards the ball, and you just see he's not going to catch it right away. You know, I don't know if he's thinking about his hair. I don't know what he was doing. but he just flat out missed it. You know, you don't reach for a ball. You run under a football.
Someone told me that
that's day one shit.
Day one shit. He was thinking about that hit that was going to come after if he didn't get out of bounds quick enough. Jenkins, like, that safety was going to rock.
Jenkins was on his way. Yeah. You know, McLeod wasn't far behind, but he probably wouldn't have got a chance to touch him. But Jenkins would have nailed. He would have made it out of bounds in time before he got hit. Definitely. And I guess that's all running through his head.
That's what they say. Like, young receiver plays, and they say you hear footsteps, and that's it. You drop the fucking ball because you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, the first time you get out there on a football field and you know where everybody's at, or at least you hope you do.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And that first time you get that hit that comes from nowhere just ruins you for life. your head's on a swivel at that point, you know. The only thing you can do to protect yourself, make the odds a little better, is to know where people are before the play happens. You know, there's really nothing else you can do about that.
It moves so quickly. Like, if you, like, see those camera angles where you show, like, the quarterback in the pocket, the insanity around them is madness.
It's 5 to 7 seconds for most
for most plays, yeah.
That's a long play, 7 seconds, yeah. I believe, right? So, you know, Brady gets plenty of time in the pocket. And, you know, the Eagles obviously weren't getting to him fast enough because he was doing the same thing that the Giants did to us, and that's the quick release.
Like, you had said to me after the game when we had kind of ripped it apart, that you said every play they got a little closer and a little closer and a little closer.
Yeah.
And then by the fourth quarter, when it mattered, they fucking leveled them.
They finally got to him. Yeah, the defense did well early in the game, and everybody forgets that part.
Sure.
You know, we held them off for a while, you know, and then when they switched to that 2-3 second drop back, throw the football. He had his receivers picked out before the ball was.
Of course.
You know, so he knows who's inside, who's out. He can just drop the ball off right away if the linebacker reacts whatever way. So he's got guys on either side.
And a good parallel to that is when Mayweather has a fight. He always loses the first 3 or 4 rounds because he's just sizing up the opponent.
Yeah.
And then by the 5th round, he knows everything you can do. He figured you out, and then he starts winning.
That's what Belichick does.
Exactly.
Belichick, you know, has a tendency to, you know, he obviously didn't pull it off this time, you know. Philly and all that came before we actually won that game, you know. We were getting ahead at that point.
Sure.
So.
You had told me that he had sat a very specific defensive player for New England, and it was like a kind of
Malcolm
a controversy.
Butler, I believe.
Now, I am not a fan of New England, so I don't really know who he is. But what's the deal with that?
Like, nobody's ever really found out. They said that he had the flu or he felt a little sick the day before. I don't know if he didn't follow team protocol or what have you. He wouldn't have made a difference in the game either way.
That's what I'm asking.
Not, everybody's making him out to be a much better cornerback than he is.
Okay.
You know? Since Darrell Revis, I believe it was, retired, Sherman's been hurt. There's really no shutdown corners, you know.
Sure.
The safeties have gone away. You got your Landon Collins out there from the Giants. You got Malcolm Jenkins. McLeod's not very good.
Okay.
He misses a lot of tackles. They're not going to redo his contract this year. He's
so
gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's going to be gone. You can't justify the money for him.
Now,
you just can't.
I don't know if I had told you this story already when it happened months and months ago, but this is long-winded, so please bear with me. I do love to talk, let me tell you. I'm a fan of Artie Lang. He's a comedian. He was on the Howard Stern Show for many years.
I'm aware of that.
For about 6 months to 8 months, he was on a show with Anthony Cumia. Now, Cumia is the guy from the O&A show with Opie and Anthony, also in New York City. Do you remember that show at all?
I remember it on the radio.
On the radio,
I
right?
never really got into it.
So I was a fan.
A little childish.
So now Anthony left. He does his own thing. He got fired from Sirius. And he hires Artie Lang. And they're doing their own kind of podcast, but a higher end. There's a studio, the whole thing. Artie Lang is a lifelong degenerate gambler.
Yes.
He's from New York, or Jersey, I should say.
He likes the heroin, yeah.
Well, not the heroin part so much, but the gambling.
Yeah.
This is a true story. It's a little scary. I'm going to explain it to you. He gets a phone call about an hour before the Super Bowl starts, right, on Sunday. And the guy on the other end of the phone is like, hey, it's bet the over. He's like, they're going to start missing extra points. Don't fucking worry about that. Bet the over. It's a lock. It's a mortal lock. And like, the fact that some guy an hour before the Super Bowl knew that upsets me in my heart. And here's the thing, Timmy, it happened. We did miss an extra point. It did happen.
I understand that.
So what's your theory?
My theory is we never hear about these things till later. You have Instagram and everything else. Why wouldn't you write it down somewhere that's time-stamped to prove it? You know what I mean? It's kind of just hearsay. You know?
No, I hear you. But
I just don't, you know what I mean?
I don't know, man. Like, so then someone explained to me, I had an argument with Johnny Zero. Oh, my God. Oh, it's a fucking tangent. So this is episode 23 of the Vex on Vex podcast. This is the fourth time I'm trying to record episode 23, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Me and Johnny recorded that podcast, the TV Dads Wrestling podcast, and I was over there, and I was like, all right, Johnny, we're going to do a podcast together. And we started recording, and he has been on Vex before. So he's supposed to be on the show. And I think we got like 7 minutes into it and he started screaming and I started screaming. It was just awful. We were fighting over like bizarre politic things. And I was like, all right, this isn't going to work. We recorded another one. We got through the whole hour. The computer lost it. Another argument, by the way. And then the third time I was like, we got like 15 minutes in and it was just a breakdown. And I was like, fuck it. So now Timmy's on the goddamn podcast and we're not having Johnny Zero on this one. And the reason I told that whole like bizarre, long-winded story is that Johnny Zero has a theory that the zebras control more of the game than anybody else. What are your thoughts on that? Like the referees?
No.
Because I heard before, and this isn't Johnny Sierra's theory, this is my friend Armin's theory, a bass player in a band called Cellar Belly. He had said on Facebook, he's like, who are the people in the field who make the less money and have the most power to make calls? It's a good combination. So if you're a degenerate gambler and you're a ref, you could move some shit.
All right, now imagine staging an NFL game like you would a wrestling match. It's just not possible. It's just...
But I think a ref could just make the bad call or let you get away with something.
There would have to be a lot of bad calls to make it to be consistent. Like, okay. Sports are about, you know, momentum and shifting and, you know, it's chess. React, counter-react.
You don't buy into the conspiracy theories at all?
No, not at all, no.
You're like, no.
Not for football. You could, hockey, baseball. You could probably pull it off. You get a couple players. You know what I mean?
Well, they did. Eight men out. Yeah, there's a movie.
Yeah, you could tank that. Basketball. You could probably tank. You know, hockey. There's 21 players on the team. You know, football. There's 52. They would have to learn the routine,
no,
if you will.
But in hockey, if you have the goalie, can't you bend a game if he lets shit pass? I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Sure. Sure, you could probably pull it off.
So it is possible.
Yeah, but they're Canadians. So,
Canadian aid.
You could probably get them for a pack of cigarettes and some donuts.
We're
real bacon. I don't know.
So when did you learn what Canadian bacon was? Do you have any idea?
When I was a little kid, I realized it was ham.
So I was a waiter. I was a waiter when I was like 18, 19 years old in restaurants. I think I was probably 18 when I had this job. There was a place called the Broad Axe Tavern, which doesn't exist anymore. Thank God. They were famous for their ribs, like their fucking barbecued ribs, and they had really good crab cakes. So I'm doing the breakfast one day. I don't do breakfast. I'm a regular, like, overnight guy, like, for nighttime dinner, and they brought me in for a breakfast shift, and this guy's like, I like Canadian bacon. This old man. And I write down bacon, because I didn't fucking comprehend the Canadian bacon and bacon were different. I just didn't know, right?
It's gonna be different.
So I bring out the meal, and he's like, I didn't order this. I ordered Canadian bacon. I said, yeah, bacon. It's right there. It's a Canadian bacon. And I had to learn it was fucking ham. Like, why do they call it Canadian bacon? Like, I don't understand, man.
You know, we are the top country in the world, you know.
I don't know.
We have all real food here.
Real food here?
Yeah. Like, turkey bacon's not really a thing, you know. It just makes people feel good about themselves. It's just as bad as for you as regular bacon. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't help you in any way.
It's all, you know.
It's all fatty.
Turkey bacon is better. Yeah, none of that makes any sense. Just eat regular sized portions, have a salad, a vegetable, a meat, you know, a protein, and you're good, you know.
We have a very physical day job, though, so we can keep in shape in that capacity, but most people, you know, not really. So we eat garbage, when we're out in the sun, we eat some bad stuff.
We eat McDonald's,
that is the worst of the worst of the worst.
We eat like two cheeseburgers, and we sweat it out within the hour.
Within the hour, and the reason I buy that for people is it's so fucking cheap. Like, it's garbage, but it's affordable garbage. I can buy the entire crew a big, you know. I used to get like real pizza, right? And it was like $45 to like feed everybody. And I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you get a real cheesesteak. You're looking at like $8 a person. You know what I mean? A fucking McDouble's a dollar.
And they're happy to get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's food.
Know, it's free, you know? I burn off so much weight with the landscaping or even with roofing most of the time. You've seen me. I sweat like a snowman. Like, I'm like melting out there. But, I was, 215 usually around the end of the winter. I'm 186 right now.
You look svelte from all that swimming.
Yeah, it just disappears.
Just disappears.
Yeah, I can eat whole bags of candy at night, you know. I can eat, you know, a pound of Now and Laters at night, you know. Or peanut butter cookies.
I really miss the junk food. I can't really party like I used to.
I don't do that in the winter. I have a few Jolly Ranchers that I suck on at night. That's it.
Which is still very bad for you.
Yeah, but I still get up to 215. In the summer, I can eat those peanut butter, fudge, graham cookies.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. I have a tendency to eat peanut butter out of the jar just to get my protein and sugar fix at the same time.
Is there a lot of protein in that?
Peanut butter? Yeah. Peanut butter is a balance, a good balance of... Yeah, you don't want just protein. You want protein and carbohydrates together, about the same mix, I believe they say.
The greatest fucked up sentence one of our employees ever said to me, ever. We were like walking, we're going to get lunch or something. And he was like, yeah, I want a chicken sandwich. I was like, cool. He's like, you know, there's a lot of carbs in chicken. And it didn't like marry into my brain. I was like, yeah.
You know he will kill us if he hears this. He will kill us.
I have yet to say who it is, and I don't think he remembers saying it. So how about we stop saying what else he said? But the point is, he said...
It's really good, though. He's proud of this statement, though, so I don't think it's a bad idea.
Okay, so...
He believes that Red Bull is made from bull semen.
For real?
Yes.
Like, for real.
But he still insists upon it. You know, I tell him he's wrong. He doesn't care. He just does not care. He believes it firmly. He had our discussion with the new worker for us, you know. It went on for about 15. No, man, it's what it is. No, you know, let them have it, you know.
Interesting. Bizarre, but interesting. There's a lot of carbs in chicken. It's like the greatest sentence I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, there's a lot of carbs in it. Yeah.
But then I thought about it. Maybe he means the breaded chicken sandwich or something. Like, I never got the chicken sandwich from McDonald's. Is it breaded? I know the fish
not
is
all
breaded.
You can get them grilled or breaded now.
Can you?
I just had Popeye's chicken for like the first time yesterday. Was it Friday? I don't know what day it was, but it was delicious. I got a 4-piece. With potatoes or something like that for $5.
I never enjoy it. I feel it's too greasy when I get that kind of stuff. Like, it just doesn't work for me.
Popeye's wasn't greasy. It's not. It's, you know, KFC, if it sits around, gets greasy. But if it's a day when they're moving product, it's actually pretty good. If you know they just made it, like. But I was surprised for $5, four nice pieces of chicken at Popeye's. It was delicious, man. Thank you, Popeye's. We will expect our check.
Yeah, there we go. We got a sponsorship happening.
I just want to try their seafood, man. I don't know if we have one around here. I was at the Philadelphia Mills Mall the other day.
I thought there is one over by like the Grant area, isn't there? Yeah,
Where the I think Applebee's.
No, where TD is, right across from TD. There's and the Five Guys. Where the Five Guys is?
Yes.
Next door is a Popeye's.
Okay, good.
Like literally, they're not good. It's not something.
Yeah, Church's chicken is not good.
I kind of like Church's now.
No,
I don't know.
No,
Royal Farms. That gas station is unbelievably good chicken.
I was going to point out to you yesterday, they got some kind of sale going on. It was on the billboard on our way home. I think we were already discussing pizza at that point.
Yeah, we went and dropped the ladder off in South Philly for our friend Paul, who's in the band Omnivore. So we're giving you a shout out there, Paul. I don't know, man. Chicken, fried chicken. When I was a little kid, I remember it was like a big deal. Like when I was like 9, 10. You'd get the change together you had in your pocket, and you and your friends would like walk to McDonald's, and you'd get like the McNuggets, and you'd get like something to drink, and it would be like just the worst food on the planet Earth, but it was so good.
I sold the newspaper out, and I sold the extra newspapers, obviously, on Sundays at least, you know.
You said obviously, like you're committing larceny.
I feel like it's just obvious it's going to happen. You know what I mean? You know, you sell a couple extra papers. And the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant from Burger King. I don't know if they ever going back to an actual croissant at this point. But when they first came out, they were using real croissants. They were flaky and delicious.
Like real in the 80s.
It's real food. I could actually, you know, because you got at my house, you got just enough to sustain you at the table.
There was a lot of siblings.
Yes.
So how many?
There's four of us all together.
And then two parents. So, that's six people eating.
Yeah. And my younger brother is not exactly little. You know, he's what, 6'3"? He looks like a lineman. You know?
Was he always heavy his whole life?
He's always a little thick, yeah, but he swells up and down.
I hear you.
So I've only gotten that far with the dislocated knee. Like freshman year, I went into school pretty heavy.
I was an only child, so food was never an issue. And then, like, you know, as you may know from working so closely with me, I have control issues in some capacity.
Yes.
I like to kind of be...
I need to tell this story because it has to happen.
Okay.
We are often asked where we like to eat when we're out on jobs. There'll be four of us in the truck. And I finally realized at this point, he's not really asking us, you know. We're going to one of the four places that he likes. I'm not going to name them. Still start giving us money, but, You know, it's a, we're going to one of four places.
No matter where we're at in the city.
Yeah, I don't know why he asks us. He legitimately feels like he's asking us. You know, I don't think he even knows he's doing it. I'm looking at the guys. I'm like, he's not. They got you get out of the car to go to the bank. I'm like, well, where do you want to go? I'm like, we're not picking. Is this your first day?
You're like, you know, he pays, right? So he's going to take us where the fuck he wants. Oh my God.
You know, it's the Polish in Port Richmond, the Polish diner.
That's amazing.
The Mayfair diner, they're all very good. Mayfair diner, dining car,
and the buffet.
Once in a while, I get the Primo meals over at the steak place that you like. That's really good.
The
steak place on Street Road that you take me to.
Oh, yeah.
I can't spend that kind of money on food.
Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, I can't spend that kind of money on food ever.
What are you talking about? You get paid so much to work for Philly Restorations. My God, man. You're rolling it. You're a wealthy gentleman.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Sure.
I'm wealthy with friends and stuff.
So aww.
I'll take that.
Emotional.
I'm trying to get a big dinner out of this. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
I put butter on the roll, baby.
Ah, Timmy. So here we are. We're discussing the whole Madden situation. The 2000. We were actually in the store, and there's, what is this game? I didn't look it up. I didn't really figure it out. It's the Madden All Star, and T.O.'s on the cover.
Yeah, he.
But that's a different game. That's not no, Madden,
it's,
right?
It's Madden with the all time greats and stuff, I believe. And it's, I think it's got more like managing stuff for your franchise. You get more options to manage the team and what have you, to run the team your way. I don't know if you remember back in the day, there was this weird thing where you could adjust concessions and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, of course. Bucks. I remember all that.
You know, and it really only helped with your cap room. You know what I mean? So you had to win the Super Bowl every year. It was very basic, you know. that wasn't even the fun part. The fun part is like finding draft picks and getting them to develop, you know.
Sure.
For me anyway, I enjoy that. I mean, I enjoy playing just as much. Like, I enjoy playing out of the running back spot while you quarterback. It's fun. I like blocking, you know. I get to do the dirty work.
The brother-in-law for my second marriage, who I no longer speak to because I was an estranged over marriage, he explained to me his favorite part of Madden was he would play as a receiver only. He would only play as a receiver. So, but I don't. I like being the quarterback.
Right.
And then when I would play it, I would be the quarterback, and whoever caught the ball, I'd be that guy. And I would when I played alone, when we didn't play together. Yeah. And he's like, no, the secret is just to be just a receiver, and it's just such a better game. And I was like, I don't know if I believe that working cog shit. Like,
no, how are you going to – you don't get the call for the ball.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe you do, though. I don't know. Maybe you do.
If there's blocking schemes, too. You'd have to know every blocking scheme for the play, too.
That's true.
Like, there's little white lines. They don't show you them when you hit the button. You'd have to know the play beforehand.
But we've never played where you're just a receiver and there's no active quarterback. Maybe there was. I don't even know. I can't speak on it. I thought it was interesting, and it was kind of amazing.
Yeah, you can lock player position somehow, so you can lock yourself in as the running back.
Okay.
You might be able to lock yourself out of quarterback. I don't know. There must be a way. Maybe you can just fiddle around the formation. So
do you know the story of what happens with T.O. or Terrell Owens and the Hall of Fame? I saw when I was on the treadmill yesterday that they will not induct him or speak his name at the ceremony in any capacity because he's not attending. Do you have any idea why he's not attending? I don't know the story.
I don't know. I missed it, and now the story doesn't give you the backstory to it. He's having something at his college, somewhere in Tennessee, I believe.
The same day.
Yeah.
So he opted to go there.
Yes, he's going to Tennessee to have, you know, the cost. I guess it costs money to, maybe it's free to go in, I think. But yeah, I don't know why he's, I don't know what it's about. Like, what's his issue with the NFL? I don't know. Is it because he doesn't have a pension or something? I just don't understand. I thought they had player pensions now.
No, he has a pension. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they're not going to mention his name.
I'm saying, why is he mad at the NFL?
I'm asking you. I was hoping you knew the story. My theory is that they might be paying him to go to the other thing because he's kind of broke. Remember, he had bad management skills with the money, baby mama drama, the whole thing. Away. Speaking of which, Shady McCoy, do you have any idea what's going on with that story?
I haven't heard anything since the last stuff that I told you.
So tell them because they might not know.
Okay,
so he's the former...
Shady McCoy is a former Philadelphia Eagle and now a running back, star running back for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
The other day on Twitter or Instagram, I'm not sure... His ex-wife's girlfriend posted a picture of her sitting in the hospital, laying passed out in the hospital bed, but her face all smashed up. She had been pistol whipped. In this Instagram post, she alleged that they kept their mouth shut for years about beating her, beating his kid for peeing in the bed, beating the dog in
like
the kidney failure.
Guy.
Like he's a violent guy, and he's abusing steroids, his needles, and so on and so forth. So that's just what she said. So what we know happened is Someone broke into her house. It was a home invasion. She was sleeping. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning. And the burglar or what have you.
Or burglars.
There was only one guy there.
Only one person?
That's what the police reported. That's what she reported to the police.
Okay.
He demanded certain pieces of jewelry, which Shady had given to her. When she refused to give them to him, he pistol whipped her. That busted up her face. Very pretty woman. So I guess after he pistol whipped her, got the jewelry back, which we know LaShawn McCoy had given to her. Everything else that I know is kind of hearsay.
Now, I had seen a follow-up. Again, when I'm at the gym, there's like 75 televisions with every different channel on it. Not 75, but like a dozen. So, one, and you can read the text that has for the deaf people, I guess, who watch television. What's it called? Hearing impaired? What's this letterboxing? No, what is it? Seriously, there's a word for it.
Closed caption.
That's the word. They have closed captioning. Thank you for assisting me. So, they have the bubbles pop up, and you can read it. So, the theory is that the woman's ex-boyfriend, after Shady, set her up and sent like a gangster guy to go get that jewelry. So Shady might be off the hook.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't see any of that. I know that they're saying that LaShawn McCoy had changed out the alarm system.
Okay.
Obviously they system, which was recent. And he had said to her, again, hearsay, had said to her that she's going to get robbed walking around with that jewelry.
All that fancy shit on, yeah. And he had asked for it back, like you said.
He did ask for it back several times. He tried to evict her from the house. It's not a pleasant situation for them. It's estranged, if you will. So I don't know anything about this ex-boyfriend. I haven't heard anything about it.
They had vicious Twitter tirades back and forth a little while ago when they had initially broken up. Now, additionally, a couple years back, Shady and his entourage beat up a bunch of plainclothes police officers in a nightclub in Center City, Philadelphia. Do you remember that situation?
Yeah, now I'm hearing that it was a legitimate fight, and then they said afterwards that they were cops after they got their ass.
That's true. That's what I heard. That's what happened.
I'm not saying you're not
supposed to fight. It's illegal, actually. Like if you're in a
Not to hit people.
Yeah, it's like not. So he got off the hook for that, though. Like no issue, no problem.
Yeah,
no
several
league
times
issue.
Throughout his life. I don't remember what the other situations were, but there's been other situations with him. But nothing like this. This goes a little far, beating dogs and kids and what have you. That's a big accusation.
It's hearsay, though.
Yeah.
We don't have any proof of that.
No. And the girlfriend was passed out when the ex-wife was passed out when her best friend sent this giant Instagram, spiel out.
Do we know if it was taken down or is it still active? Like, did she say to her, oh, my God, take that down? Or
I have no idea.
That's interesting.
I read about the police are actually investigating it.
Of course.
It did
happen,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
They say it was one guy. It was home invasion. Somehow he got past the alarm system, so... Now I don't know. I don't know what you heard about this other ex-boyfriend in between.
Yeah, well, that's the theory as it stands yesterday.
I just don't understand. They got all kinds of money. Why are you acting like children? It's just silly.
Because they're kind of children. They're not grown people. Like they've been wealthy since they were very young. You have a chance to mature as a human being. You stay in this like arrested development, if you will, and then that's the situation you're in. It happens to a lot of the players.
Yeah, just like the same with any kind of alcohol or drug issues. Your development gets arrested when you start.
There was a guy I knew who was a pagan, part of the motorcycle gang when he was 17, and he did something crazy, and he went to jail, and he was in jail for like 30 years. So he gets out, he's like 47, 48 when I meet him, right? And he'd been in jail for 30 years, so mentally he was still a 17-year-old kid, and it was really weird. He worked on my crew briefly for a while, and it didn't last because I couldn't handle, he was a man, but he wasn't. He was kind of like mentally like a little kid still. It was a bizarre situation.
Well, there's a lot of people, and sometimes it has nothing to do with alcohol or drugs. They've never learned how to grow up,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like everything's somebody else's fault is your first, is the first thing that there's a problem. And they're not responsible for anything. We had somebody working for us who, when something would break, this is not my fault, would scream it and lose his mind constantly. And it was just silly. Like, I don't understand. Like, what do you think he was going to get a spanking? I don't know. You see, my thing, when something breaks, it's time to move on. The next problem is fixing it. And then making sure it doesn't happen again.
Sure.
There are three steps involved. Yelling or finding somebody to yell at, it isn't one of my priorities in
which
the situation.
But they're not in the management part of the business. They're in the grunt part of the business. Right. And that's why they're doomed to be in that situation until they figure out the rest of it and grow up a little bit, I suppose. I don't know.
I guess.
I was a fucked up kid. I remember early 20s, I'd have a job. I didn't appreciate the job. I resented my boss. Like, this guy's giving me money to pay for my mortgage and my house. And I'm like, oh, I hate these people so much. I did too.
I'm smarter than everybody.
I definitely thought I was. But it's weird because I spent a lot of time, and here's what would happen. We discussed this before. The reason that we're in the business we're in is when you're done your job, we go home. Everybody gets paid. It could take us 2 hours. It could take us 8 hours. It doesn't matter. You get paid what you're getting paid, and we go home, right?
Right.
I had a job where I was paid hourly, so I had to fill paperwork for specific orders, and I had to have everything out to the loading dock by noon, and then the 1 o'clock was the pickup. So after 1:30 p.m., I was pretty much done for the day, right? There's nothing else I could do. And I had to sit there until 5. And I was like, can I just go home? And he's like, no, you never know. What do you mean I never know?
Yeah.
UPS ain't coming back, man.
Know.
This is me knowing right now.
It's like, no, the job is till 5. If you don't want to work here, that's fine, but the job's till 5.
Again, it kind of destroyed. Our country's a little destroyed, like wrecked in that area.
Explain,
now.
Sir.
Well, most people, but one of my former jobs was to go around and evaluate other companies, make them go faster, whatever.
Sure.
I won't get into that.
Sure.
But that's what I saw people do most of their day was play on the internet, you know. So, you know, I went to work at a second print place, and they had a person for three people or two people for third shift at that point. And I was the third, you know, there used to be three.
Okay.
And it turns out that there was 3 hours worth of work for me, you know.
That
covered everybody.
And that was it.
That covered everybody else, you know. And I kind of kept it quiet, you know. But they figured it out, you know, that everything got done. Like, I guess they were – I don't know how you milk out
five additional hours.
Well, an hour and a half a piece of work into a whole night, you know what I mean? I just don't know how you do it. Now, they only used one computer at a time, which even then I couldn't do what they did. I couldn't stretch something out that long. And they looked like they were busy at first. Then I realized when they both called out or one of them had a night off and I was in there by myself, I'm like, this is easy. Like, I just sent everything to the printers and then I wait and then I label the plates, send them out to the press room and I'm done. You know, and it was like 3 hours worth of work and that wasn't even every night. So they got rid of all that. I mean, the bank had controlled them by the time I started working for them, so they were going downhill anyway. But, you know, all the other places I visited over the years, we're talking about like a 5 or 6 year run where I'm visiting places all over the country, you know, and most of the office workers are playing solitaire, they're shopping, you know. Again, I don't know what they're supposed to be doing in the first place, but they weren't doing it. So, again, I don't get it, you know.
Here's what blew my mind about what you just said. They appeared to be busy. So they understood that even though they weren't doing anything, all this effort and time went into this task of just being like, well, I'm not really working, but I look like I'm working. Mm. Did that melt your face? Like, how'd you feel about that?
I don't get it. Like, I've never actually worked a job where I can't remember working a job where I just had to show up and hang around for 8 hours. You know, I have a set of goals in mind when I get there. That's
sure.
why I enjoy what we do now. I know what my task is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know what has to be done for the day. I don't have to wait for anybody else. I don't have to fill out extraneous paperwork for no reason. What's the report in office space called?
TPS reports.
Yeah, I don't have to do TPS reports for no reason. You know, I need rubber. I buy rubber. I got to put muck down. I put muck down. I don't have to fill out paperwork to get a piece of tape, you know, or find a hole in the roof. I find a hole in the roof. We patch it.
And then we go home.
And the longest part of my job is usually talking to our customers.
I think I always used to say, like, putting up the ladder is the hardest part.
It's the hardest part, but the longest part is normally for me.
It's just dealing.
I've only
with
been
people.
Out by myself a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
always talking to them that takes a while. And again, I'm just kind of reassuring them at that.
I gotta tell you, if they're willing to give like some weird tattooed people a whole lot of money to climb on their roof to fix something they can't see, they gotta trust you.
I look a lot more clean cut than you.
Oh,
I'm not saying it's bad or good, you know. I'm not saying that's bad or good, but I don't have any tattoos. I don't believe in any distinguishing characteristics. No comment for me after that. You get it.
We had Gutter on here. He works with us, and he had discussed like he was in his whole thing. He used to work for when he was locked up. He went out on work release, and he would be the mural painters. That's the way I wanted to say it, in Center City.
Okay.
And then he like blew their spot up. He's like, no, they don't really paint. Like, he's like, I thought I was going to go out and we'd have machinery and I'd be like, I'm going to paint. And he had worked for us before he went in, so he already understood ladders and climbing, the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they OSHA certified him, which is awesome. And he goes out and they're like, oh no, we're just going to paint these canvases. And then one day we're just going to go hang them on the building. And he's like, what? What? This isn't what I applied for. Like, yeah. That's what we do. And they're like, someday, if you get out of jail, maybe we'll pay you more than $4 an hour and you can come back and you could actually work here. And then, of course, at the end, when he gets out of jail, like, yeah, I'm sorry. We don't have any work for you right now.
Well, it's a stigma. you know, when you're come out of jail trying to find a job.
I just think that they were like working the system. Like instead of paying a minimum wage, they can legally pay a lot less because if it's an incarcerated person and they were just using that as an exploitative option.
I was just commenting on the fact that it is difficult for that people come out of jail or, you know, it just leaves a stigma to you. Everybody can do background checks now. You know, it's like somebody telling you that they're an alcoholic. Oh, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Next thing you know, you don't want to whine in front of them. You react to it, whether you try to hide it or not. Everybody reacts to it.
Do we have anybody who has been incarcerated at one time or another working for us?
Just you. I'm sure Dave. No, definitely.
It's been like confirmed. There's no last name or anything, so you're fine. And no one knows who Dave is. But yeah, he did like overnight stuff. But he's definitely right. I've never went away.
And the new person, I don't know anything about them. Really.
But same thing. Like a past, if you will. But that's okay. This is the industry we're in. Like my God. We used to have Drunk John, who we talked about many times in this podcast, who was working with us. He was homeless when I met him, and he conned me that he wasn't homeless. And I totally bought it because I'm not homeless. I don't get it. Like, and it was winter when we met. I met him for the interview, and I'm like, okay, let's climb this building. We put a ladder up. He was good at it. And we surveyed the situation. I'm like, all right, you're pretty good. You know, you seem like a decent guy. Let's start Monday. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, you know, we just did this. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're done work. You know, maybe I'll drop you off at home. Where do you live? He's like, oh, just take me down to the Veterans Administration building. I'm going to go see them today. And I was like, okay. And I didn't think about it. And then it came out like 5 months. He's like, yeah, man, when I met you, I was homeless, you know, but I didn't want you to know. And I was like, oh. Because I really don't think I would have hired him, Timmy. Where's your address?
He knows his stuff, you know.
He knew his stuff.
He was squatting at down by Bridge and Pratt, so he had a place to live.
No, but no. This is pre that. Oh, okay. This is like, I've known him for years at this point. But right. Back then, no, that... The Bridge and Pratt's in here, so we have a landscaping company as well as our roofing company, and we service a physician's office at the Bridge and Pratt area. And the building directly over the fence is an abandoned building that John lived in for like years. And what had happened is the original inhabitant was an old man. He was in his 70s and he was smoking in his living room and he fell asleep and the living room caught on fire and he died in the house, right? So his son, who's now, you know, in his 60s, because they're not like, he's not a young man himself, maybe late 50s. He didn't want to put the money into like new copper and like, so he turned the water off. They fixed the roof. They boarded up the windows. And John knew the dad for whatever reason. Maybe they were both drinkers. I don't know. So he allowed John to squat, air quotes, in the building because it has a giant, like, I guess at Bridge and Pratt, to have that kind of land around your property is kind of good. Like it's a commercial property, a commercial building. So he has like a full parking lot and the whole thing.
You could turn that into a parking lot probably. Make
literally. And John was calling himself the building manager. And then when they had that big boxing match, it was Conor McGregor facing off against, what was his name? I just said it.
No idea.
Floyd.
Okay.
Merriweather. So it was McGregor and Merriweather, which was last summer, about a year ago, roughly. I was picking up a friend of mine at Bridge and Pratt to bring him back to my house to watch the show or watch the fight. And there's Drunk John holding court on the steps of this building having a little like hobo barbecue. Mm. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And then I left Bridge and Pratt and I went and got a case of beer. By the time I came back, like 10 minutes later, an ambulance was there. So in his hobo barbecue, something horribly wrong. And I just, I called him on his phone. He's like, hey, Vex. And I was like, Drunk John, what's going on, man? And he came over and I just talked to him for a little while. And I was like, the big fight's tonight. He has no idea what I'm talking about. He's like, oh. Now, Chris Gutta still sees him occasionally around Bridge and Pratt.
I've seen him several times.
And he has no idea who he is. Now, we have worked next to this man for years.
I'm in the truck, though, so he knows your truck well.
But Gutta walked up and he was like, hi. How are you? And he's like, oh, I'm good. What's going on? And he told him a 5-year life story. And Gutter's like, I was here for all of that. I know everything you're saying. I knew the stories. I remember when she died, man. I was there. Oh, yeah. And then he's like, you know, Vex. Oh, Vex. Yeah. Woo. You know, no idea who he is, though.
Yeah, so he's not working or anything anymore. So
no,
he's kind of done.
He's a hobo.
Seen him. He's pretty shot out, buddy. It's kind of over for him.
I remember, I think he tried to come back to work for us like a year or two ago. And he had this giant, smelly, awful beard. And I was like, listen. You know, you're a good roofer. You want to come back. You want to make some money. I'll put you on a roof. And he's like, but you got, I was like, you have to cut that beard. He's like, oh man, no, yeah, I use the beard to panhandles. I need it. It's like my business. And I was like, okay, yeah. I'm never putting you on a roof again. Good luck with that.
He instructed me in panhandling at one point.
Oh my God. Greatest story ever. Right.
Yeah, I don't know about the greatest, but, he told me if I ever wanted to start panhandling, it was a kind of a long starter's kit thing that he was doing for me.
Oh, I got the dialogue. You ready for the dialogue? And this is the exact Drunk John story. He's like, Jimmy, listen, if you want to panhandle, it's very lucrative. You can make a lot of money doing it. You sit outside. You make sure that you're not showered, right? And you have to, like, your hair has to be disheveled and you're dirty. And when they come out, you only ask them for food because they're not going to want to give you food, so they'll give you money.
Yeah, they're not going to take the time to buy you food.
There you go. There you go.
He said if I really needed food, he gave me several locations that were good to pick it out of the trash. bakeries at a certain time. Watch people eat at McDonald's, and when they take it to the thing, go get it. Use the money for – well, I don't know what he thought I was going to use the money for, but I guess he used it for booze. So I guess he assumed that I was, you know, a drinker or something as well. So – Yeah. Like, check bakeries at certain times of day, dump the old donuts and so on and so forth. You didn't waste any money on food, Tim, ever. Okay. Yeah. So his only the only thing he spent money on was vodka and a pink lemonade type of thing that he used to mix it in. You know.
There's this old joke that bums have a full head of hair, or homeless people have a full head of hair because they never wash it. So it never falls out, because that's what it falls out when you're in the shower. That's what happens. So right. If you never wash your hair, it's going to stay in forever.
None of those things are true.
My point being, John has a beautiful full head of hair. He has great crystal blue eyes, and his face is just falling around him, and it just doesn't look like Skeletor. It's really a bad scene. I feel bad for him. I love that guy.
We helped him for a
years,
while, and then he disappeared. Did he say where he was?
He goes to jail every once in a while.
Okay, yeah.
He goes
and so do some other people.
He does 8 months.
I was thinking about going in with Chris this winter. There's not as much work in the winter. I figure I get 3 squares a day. I can work out, you know, maybe rebuild my upper body. Hey, maybe I can get the surgery I need on my shoulder, just hang out there all day. I don't know. I got no place to live, you know. I mean, I'm not a place to live. I'm not gonna have work every day, so it might be an option.
As a younger man, Gutta told me that his plan would be is like, yeah, you know, the winter come around, I'm cool. I'm just gonna go to jail for a while, and you just do some shit.
What locks me up for 6 months?
To ask him. Well, you're a first time offender, and you're Caucasian. You know what they're gonna say to you? Oh yeah, here, you just have to go to, like, not parole. What's the other word? Probation.
R something. RDR. ARD. Something like that. Advanced rehabilitation. Something.
But you're probation. Yeah, like, yeah. You wouldn't get it. I don't know.
I don't know. If I have to use it, I probably have to use a weapon or something.
A weapon or something. Oh my God! Remember Raising Arizona when he was like, "Listen, I rob people, but there's no bullets in the gun, so it's cool. It's not like I'm really armed." You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I saw this thing on 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago. There was a gentleman who is a little older than us, but right in our age range. And in the mid 90s, he just started robbing banks with a friend of his. And when the cops finally figured out it was them, and they got away with it like for 4 or 5 banks. They came to his hotel room. They break down the door. They go to his car. In the car, there's $100,000 in cash. Ooh. All the weapons that he had just used to rob the bank, duct tape, all that shit. So listen. So he goes to jail for fucking 20 years, right? When he's in there, he gets assigned to the law library. And he said for the first 6 to 8 months that he worked in the law library, he wouldn't touch a book because they're just so intimidating, right? He picked it up eventually, and he started, like, reading just to, like, kill time because he's in there for fucking 20 years, right? Another defendant, or I should say convict, comes up to him. He's like, "Listen, man, you're in the law library. Write me my appeal. I want to send it to the Supreme Court." And he was like, "No, I'm not a lawyer. Fuck off," right? He writes it. The Supreme Court fucking approved it, which got him all this national attention that a convict who's not an attorney wrote up the presentation for the Supreme Court, and they took it. And the guy got his case overturned, right?
Right.
He's now a fucking professor at Yale Law.
Yes, I do.
You heard that guy, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's a fucking amazing situation, man.
Yeah.
So maybe good things happen in prison. Timmy, you can go there and become a Yale.
Yeah, I just need a place to get out of the cold, you know? So
just need some heat.
Yeah, some food, you know? I'll meet new and interesting people. It's not like Oz, you know? I'll be fine. I'll make new friends. As long as I don't go to extremes. As long as you don't go to extremes in jail, I think I'll be okay. Like, I'm not going to become like a white supremacist or, you know, anything like that. As long as you just ride the middle of the middle of the pole on the fence, you'll be fine.
All right, riding any pole in jail is definitely not the answer at hand. However,
why do you make everything gay?
Why do you make everything gay? I'm just saying. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely not.
I think at our age, if you get incarcerated at this point in our lives, nothing happens to you. But if you're 18 or 19, I was pretty. I don't know about you. I was good looking and I weighed nothing. I was getting fucked. Like, if I went in, they were like, "Yeah, we're going to, like, do things to your anatomy."
But you don't get sent to like the hardened jails for a short stint, for like a 6 month stint. You go to like the, you just end up by Ron Street, I think it is. I forget. I looked up how it worked before.
You know that there was a movie with Jamie Foxx shot in Philadelphia in a prison that was in the Holmesburg section?
Yeah, that's been shut down for years, but I know what you're talking
about. Chris said it's not actually shut down.
No, it's a training facility, actually. I believe it's a training facility.
It's a storage. So you'll go there and they hold you in the gym before you're sent to CFCF or whatever for whatever reason.
Is that where they dump the buses?
Yeah.
I don't know what you know about. Like, when you get arrested, a truck comes around and picks up everybody from the different districts and then dumps them somewhere to be processed.
And that might be the process.
And then down the street, it would make sense because down the street is the Ron and State Road. That's where they're all at.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
So if we ever can't find Chris, he's probably there. Have y'all seen Gutter?
Yes, we have. He's in the back.
I've visited a friend in there. You know, they got rules, you know, so... Yeah, interesting experience.
You visited a friend in CFCF or
yes,
in like state
Ron
prison?
Street. At Ron Street. Never gone to the state prison.
Okay, because Ron Street's temporary. Like, you don't do real time there, right? You do like a year or two. Like,
no, while you're awaiting trial, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Just hanging out there, yeah. If you can't make bail. If you can't make bail when you're awaiting trial, that's where you end up.
Isn't that majority of people, they said, though? That's why they
put you being, there's, they can remand you, depending on circumstances. If you're a dangerous, selfish community and you're facing murder charges, then, you know, obviously most... You know, most people are remanded unless you got big money. You know.
So what's remanded mean? I don't know what that
remanded
means.
Remanded means that they're holding you because you're a danger to society.
Okay.
You know, so it means you're not allowed to post bail, basically. You know, there's your flight risk. You could be remanded.
But no priors.
If you get out of country, you can be remanded.
Okay.
You know, depends on the severity of the
crime.
And they
take your passport. Isn't that a thing sometimes?
They can do that. Rich people can do that. That doesn't happen to us, folks. that's a TV kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not, if we go home, we're going home with a bracelet, buddy.
You just got to drive to Canada and then get on a plane and you're good. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I'll put the bracelet on the dog and then, you know, leave him a lot of food.
From Philadelphia, I think Canada's closer than trying to hit Mexico. Mexico's like fucking far, man.
I don't want to go to Mexico. I hate Canadians too, though. It's not
I like
personal.
I like Canada.
Damn, Canadians came down here and took all our bacon. No, I've played hockey games against the French Canadian guys. They're kind of nasty.
Have you really?
They're kind of nasty. That's all I have to say about that.
I remember being a little kid in the 80s, and we would go down to the Jersey Shore, and everybody was pissed off because the French Canadians were there. And they were
the Speedos.
And they were hairy beyond comprehension.
Speedos and hair. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I was like seven, and I'm like, why does everybody hate the French Canadians?
they're kind of rude. Is, you know, I don't know. It's like, where is it? Toronto? Is that French Canada?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Quebec. It's definitely there. We played up there. I don't know. I was up there for at least a month, at different spots. But like, I don't know. The people just seemed rude. You know. I don't know, like the stereotypes you see on like South Park and The Simpsons, you know, the French being rude and ignorant and stuff. So
I'm glad you brought up The Simpsons. I wanted to discuss this with you.
Shoot.
I remember when The Simpsons started. I was like young, I was little. I remember like I was still playing with toys and shit. Like, it's been around that long. Right. Tracy Ullman days and all, you know. And then it had its own show. And I didn't appreciate the animation in the first, I think, two seasons. And then by season three, it was like a machine. Like, they had it figured out. And it looked really good. And the jokes got brilliant. And I had this whole phase in my life from like 92 to like 2007 when I met my second wife that I watched The Simpsons every day after school or after work because they were on like Fox and 29 or whatever. And then she hated them, which didn't make sense to me. So I was like, all right, if I'm going to be living with this person, I probably shouldn't watch this anymore. And I got really into Family Guy, like really into it. Now I'm really into American Dad.
Yes, awesome show.
When they did the Family Guy Simpsons crossover, was the first time I'd seen The Simpsons in literally a decade, right? I didn't like it. Like, I didn't miss it. It didn't,
The Simpsons
know.
Are just kind of rolling along. They're it's an easy show to watch, you know? Like Family Guy is a lot more low grade humor, you know. They
it's raunchier. It's
yes, and the Simpsons do it once in a while. They mix it in, but there's a lot more visual comedy with Family Guy, you know, than there is the Simpsons. You know, when Peter has the stroke and he's, you know, walk around with his head hanging down and
had better days, I wish.
Yeah, the giraffe both busting open the Cleveland's bathroom. Like, you know, the Simpsons don't have much visual comedy in it. There's always funny things if you look close enough at the Family Guy.
Sure.
There's more to see, you know. there's always something laying in the background, like a background joke. Easter eggs, I guess they call them.
Now, you know? I don't think that Fox any longer supports the American Dad show. I think it got picked up by TBS,
right,
which I'm not 100% sure on, to be honest with you. But I just DVR all the reruns. I can watch the Roger Smith person character.
Oh yeah,
constantly. He's the greatest.
It'd be my dream to be him.
That's my spirit animal. My spirit animal's Roger. Like, definitely Roger Smith. So I guess my question would be, like, is it because we've grown up a little bit? We're different. Our taste has changed. The Simpsons to me were brilliant. I loved them so much in my 20s. They're like my favorite thing ever. And now I'm just like, eh. Like, what are your thoughts
There's
on that?
There's so many seasons of it that, you know, the writing can't be fresh. The characters, characters are locked in at their age and everything
and
else at that point. I mean, Family Guy is as well, so it was American Dad. But, you know, it's just comedy, it has to evolve to stay funny.
Has, though. Like, when I've popped my head in and I've watched a little bit of The Simpsons, iPads are there, iPhones are a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's modernized.
Right.
Because technically, at this point, Bart Simpson should be, what, 38 years old or something? Yeah, he was, like, born in 1980, so he'd be 38 years old.
I think South Park kind of hits the nail on the head when it comes to that kind of comedy, because it's fresh. It's ripped off the headlines.
Every week.
You know,
there's
a little bit of visual comedy. Okay, granted, they age a little bit, not, you know, but every week it's right on the money. You know,
but then they've done like extreme things, like Mr. Garrison is Trump.
Yeah,
that's it. He's Trump now. Which is funny. I love it. I'm not complaining.
You know, girls have a tendency to assume, oh, you watch cartoons. It's not a cartoon.
No,
it's political satire.
It is political satire. I was going to say that. I agree 100%.
Whereas
actually,
the Simpsons aren't really political satire anymore.
They started out, though. They were definitely like that. They were definitely leftist, and they were like, you know,
Quimby.
But see, the classic stuff still makes me laugh to this day.
And again, if you watch the new episodes, there's one or two lines in there, but we've watched those episodes so many times that we've memorized them. You know what I mean? So,
that's true.
Yeah, and there was nothing else to compare The Simpsons to either.
And then The Simpsons movie didn't do anything for me. Like, I wasn't impressed by it.
It was pretty good.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have spent money to go see it in a movie theater, although I may have. I don't remember.
It was a long time ago now, but I remember it wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Itchy and Scratchy, are they still part of it?
I think so. But you didn't like when Homer tries to climb the dome and he...
With the motorcycle?
With the cojones?
Remind me.
He's outside the dome, and he's talking about his cojones, and he's got like glue or something on his hands, and he grabs his crotch. He yells about his cojones.
I don't remember that.
I'll have to look up the YouTube clip.
I know that he rode the motorcycle up the inside of the dome and went through the
hole. That's when it's the scariest. You have to accelerate at the top, but that's when it's the scariest.
And then, like, I've hated the episode between Family Guy and The Simpsons. It was like the worst thing ever. They like
corny.
Fought each other for 15 minutes over
Futurama
nothing.
Futurama may have been crossed with The Simpsons too.
You know,
they're both Matt Groening.
I have always hated Futurama.
I don't know why.
Like, Bender's like your favorite cat. That's like, ooh, I just... Bender's your favorite character, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
By a long shot.
And I just don't... I hate that fucking show, man.
I don't understand why. Me and my daughter both love it. She likes Archer, too, so hopefully...
But Archer's amazing!
Make sure my daughter's... Yeah, if her mother hears this, I'm a dead man.
Isn't she 16 now, though? So it's not like...
She's 17.
She's 17 now?
Yeah.
Fuck, we're old.
Yeah.
She was little.
Yeah, she's not little anymore.
17.
But she's a huge fan of Archer. American Dad. And the Futurama, me and her can quote like back and forth all day to each other.
Yeah, but that means that she was a little girl. You're watching Futurama.
Now, I'm a terrible father.
Do they still make Futurama, or is it dead?
No, it's gone. It's gone.
Because it came back a couple times, didn't it?
Yeah, not this time. The Al Bundy's wife, Katie Sagal.
Yeah.
She's the chick on that.
How sexist of a
sentence
is that?
The other people are all very good voice actors that you've heard before, Billy West and everybody that's on there. But the comedy, the way they wrote the comedy was just, I thought was just good. Like Bender's character being a burglar or whatever and just has to drink all the time. It's just funny, you know. You don't watch The Big Bang Theory either. And
no.
Very, very funny, very good writing. Again, very good writing, and you just, you know.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I just wish you would watch it.
I feel like it's millennial comedy, and I'm an old man, and I'm like,
No, it's just about people kind of on the outside, you know?
And I never knew who that girl was ever, right?
Kelly?
Yeah, I remember, like, the Peterson, is that the movie where Rob Lowe played the cop who killed his wife.
I don't remember.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm able to Google it. And I can say it, but the bottom line is that she's in that movie as the wife that he kills, and she disappears, and I'd never seen her before, and she's like mowing the lawn in like hot pants and a fucking like sports bra. And I'm like, hey,
she's back in his childhood. She's
she was John Ritter's daughter in that show, right? Never saw that show either.
That did well. I never watched it. I watched a few episodes of it. It wasn't on like a channel that I had access to or something.
I remember that Stern at the time said that all it is this guy just gets hot chicks and then he's in the sitcom. That's his whole life. Three's Company was that. He had Chrissy Snow. Now he's got My Teenage Daughter, Don't Try to Bang, or whatever that's called.
Like, 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, he just had an entire career of just hot chicks on TV, and he's like, hey, I'm Jack Tripper. Woo! Like, I don't know.
She's all right. You know, she's a decent actress. Nothing.
She's got a career, though. She's 20 years in at this point. Like, she has money.
Oh, yeah, but Big Bang Theory's a
huge show.
You know, she's done for life. Like, she's made her money. I mean, she tried to do the big movie with The Wedding Ringer, I guess it was.
That was the wife chick, yes. Wasn't it?
Yes.
That wasn't a big success, that movie. My ex-wife,
I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
My ex-wife would be like, that was a hit. But I'm telling you,
I don't know if that was a hit. It may not have been a hit, but it's a good movie.
No, it's good.
It's a fun movie to watch.
It's fun. It's not good.
It moves fast enough. I don't get bored.
I like the freaky guys they hired to be as like groomsmen. They were all
bizarre.
Yes,
that was just perfect.
Like, that looked like hiring our landscaping crew.
These are all things could happen. You know? I just thought it wasn't too over the top, and it wasn't, you know, too low. You know what I mean? Like, it was right in the middle. Like,
yeah.
You know, you couldn't pull that off. You know what I mean? But they made it just so it wasn't like, I guess I want to use the word campy. You know what I mean?
But like, what woman's going to marry you who's never met anyone in your entire fucking life ever? Like, that doesn't make any logical sense. So you say pull it off. Or is it because her character was so self-absorbed and self-centered she didn't give a shit?
Yeah,
it was just about her.
Yeah, he was a pawn in a game, I guess. But, you know, Kevin Hart always does a wonderful job. But, like, the kid that's the husband in that is the Olaf actor. Very good comedian. I don't know his name either.
Olaf actor?
He's the guy that does Olaf's voice from the show The Kids Like Frozen.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But I know
everybody loves Olaf.
He's the fat guy who sings. He had a show with Billy Crystal
yes.
for one season. It was pretty good.
He's a good, smart comedian. I like him.
I remember seeing him in a movie, and I thought he was trying to play, I'm blanking on his name. Who's the guy from 21 Jump Street, the fat kid?
DeLuise?
No, the remake, the 21 Jump Street remake that just came out a couple years ago.
I don't remember his name. I know who you're talking about.
Jonah Hill.
Yes, that's it.
I saw a film, and it felt like he was trying to be Jonah Hill in that film. And I was like, I'm sure it was a Jonah Hill character at the time, because he wasn't anybody yet. It was this weird movie. Called The Rocker with Dwight from The Office. It was like his side movie. Do you remember that?
I haven't seen the whole thing.
It's not a great movie. It's cute. It's all right. And then, so he's pretty much playing Jonah Hill in that film. Like, Jonah Hill from Superbad is pretty much the character he's playing.
Right.
And I was like, well, then fuck that guy. Like, he's not that good of an actor. But then the years, he can sing. He can actually really sing.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, is it Wedding Ringer? Is that what it was called?
I think that's what it's called.
It's a pretty good film. It was cute. It was all right. I don't know, man. Gutta Knows. The black guy, the comedian, Kevin Hart, because he's from Philly.
Yes.
So they actually know each other. Which
he went to school down the street. You know that, right?
What's Washington?
George Washington High School.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Yes, he graduated down the corner from us.
Is he?
Down the corner of George Washington High School.
I know, but he's like our age, right?
I thought he was younger, but I don't know.
In the realm.
Yeah, you know, he's older. You know, he's got some kids and stuff like that.
Some kids.
A couple different baby mamas.
Speaking
of which. His new girl is really hot.
What is new
She's
girl?
She's of Asian descent. Kevin Hart.
Wait, so the wife left him because he got caught cheating?
I don't know the gossip on that, buddy. But
because he got caught, there's like a video of him like banging that chick.
Yeah, but I think that was older. I don't think it was the same. You know what I mean? Like Chappelle's situation. You know about that? He talked about it in his
own comedy thing. He was like, "This is a videotape of me banging a chick from 1992."
Yeah, like, I had to find a VCR first.
We know what you did, Dave Chappelle. That was good. That was on his stand-up. Did you like those things on Netflix, the Dave Chappelle?
Yes,
did you
I
like
did.
That?
Yes, I did.
Now, there was one he did, which he had a couple come out simultaneously, where it's like a side room at the Comedy Cellar or something. I didn't like that one. Like, it looked like it was shot on somebody's iPhone. Like, I didn't appreciate it so much.
I don't remember. I just remember the one with the little kid with the sandwich. Bitch had it coming.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle.
He kept biting his kid's sandwiches, and he thought it was the neighbor girl or whatever. the two lesbians had a daughter or whatever.
So this is your first appearance ever on the Vex on Vex podcast.
And last, but go on.
You know, we've hit the, we're 59 minutes in. We've hit it. Mm-hmm. We've hit the mark. Now, it didn't feel like an hour, did it?
No.
Oh, fuck.
I'm
you,
just kidding. It did. You know.
It goes quickly.
When you're a smoker, these things take longer.
Oh, wow. So are you having like anxiety?
No. Just my back's a little tight, so. All right. It's been fun. Well, thank you. Definitely do it again if you want.
Well, you just said you wouldn't, but that's fine.
No, I was joking. Because we didn't really stay on any one subject.
You're not supposed to, though. It's supposed to be just all over the place. Like, you just talk and you have a groovy concept. So, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Vex X. Thank you, Timmy.
Thank you, Vex. And thanks for listening, everybody.
And we are available on the Louded Loaded Network on the... Hold on, I'm blanking. The Podbean application on your phone. That's it. And this is the Vex and Vex podcast. There's new episodes every Monday. And the TV Dads Wrestling Federation podcast, which is TV Dads Wrestling, which is available every Saturday. Again, on Loud and Loaded. This is Vex X telling you to stay frosty.